Almighty Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, we truly come before you on this, your holy Sabbath day, to give all honor, glory, and praise to your name. We thank you, Father, for raising us up this day, giving us another opportunity at life. We know, Father, that you didn't have to do that. You've blessed us in many ways. But the greatest way, of course, Father, is allowing us to be in your presence, to come before you, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to give all glory and honor and praise to your name. Father, we love you and thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who died for each and every one of our sins. We ask, Father, that you would touch the bodies and heal those that need a healing today. Comfort all those who have lost loved ones, who are mourning at this time, Father. Console them as only you can. And truly be Yahweh Yireh, our provider, and providing us with everything we have need of. You know exactly what we have need of, even before we ask. So we thank you, Father, for this opportunity to come and worship and praise your name. Help us, Father, to understand the purpose of what we're doing here today. And that is to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to give all honor, glory, and praise to your name. We thank you again, Father, for calling us out of this sinful world into your marvelous light. Help us, Father, to magnify that light to others around us. As we try our best, Father, to walk in your truth and to keep your commandments without any spot, any wrinkle, or any sin, we do love you and thank you for every blessing. And it's in Yahshua's holy name we come before you asking for all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. Almighty Yahweh is perfect in his love towards us in that he gave his only begotten Son for a ransom for the world. If you take the love you have for your children or your parents or best friend and multiply it by 10, then you may have an idea of the love that Yahweh has for you. You might have to multiply that by 100, but I said 10 because I want to kind of keep it on a human realm when I say that, because each one of us cares. I'm not talking about the love you have for your spouse. That's a different type of love. But I'm talking about the love that you have for your children or your mother or father. Now, in John chapter 3, it's a very well-used passage. Most people know of it. But in John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life." So, for you to inherit eternal life, you only need to love. You only need to love. Now, again, I want you to understand the level of love that we're talking about. You might have a pet that you love a lot. And what happens if that pet get hit by a car? You're going to be devastated, right? Because you're worried about the condition of your pet. This love that we're talking here is well beyond the love that you would have for your pet. You understand? Now, verse 17, "For Yahweh sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. So we're talking about people who are evil. We're talking about people who are selfish. We're talking about people who don't really care for one another. But Yahweh obviously loves them enough that he cares for them even though they don't know him. They don't have a relationship with him. He's trying to open that door to a relationship with him through the death of his son. Verse 18, he that believes on him is not judged. John 3:18. He that believes not has been judged already because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of Yahweh. So, again, we see here that the name is very important. The name of his son is very important, just like Yahweh's name is important. Now, this is not a message about the name, but the name, once you get yourself into the proper mental thought process, you see that if I call you Johnny and your name is not Johnny, you're not going to respond. You're not going to hear me, right? So instead of me calling on Malaysia, your name's not Malaysia, it's Alaysia, right? Now, if I called you Sydney, would you respond? No, because that's not your name. So I want you to understand that Yahweh, again, has a special name. His son has a special name. And only through those names, and in the name of the Savior, Yahshua, can you be saved. You must come into that knowledge of his name. You can't be saved calling on the name of Zeus, because Zeus is not the mighty one. He's a false idol. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. This message is entitled, Are You Perfect in Love? That's the title of the message. I should have gave it earlier, but Are You Perfect in Love? In Matthew 5:43, it says, You have heard that it was said, You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you. How many people can do that? Very little, very few. But this is what Yahweh desires from us. He wants us to get to that point in our lives where we can pray for them who persecute us. That you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. See, you might be upset with somebody, and you don't want them to receive any blessing. But it's not up to you. You understand? See, so this is where forgiveness comes in. You have to forgive those who've sinned against you, who've trespassed against you, because you want the blessing. You want those blessings, and you will withhold those blessings from yourself by holding grudges against someone else. And this means you're not perfect in love if you're still showing hate to one of your brothers, even your enemy. Verse 46, if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the Gentiles the same? Don't they do the same? They love their children. They do, just like you love your children. But see, Yahweh wants you to go further. He wants you to get closer to him. And for you to do that, you have to be able to love your enemy. In verse 48, he says, you therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, a lot of people read this and say, well, I can't be perfect. I cannot perfect myself because only one perfect man walked the earth, and that was Yahshua. So how can you be like Yahshua? Yahshua was perfect in his love. Yahweh is perfect in his love. And we have to be perfected in our love, brethren, for one another. Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis chapter 22, we have the passage of Abraham offering his son Isaac. In Genesis 22, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass, after these things, that Elohim did prove Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, even Isaac. But Abraham had another son. You understand? He says, your only son. So this is the son that Abraham truly loved. And he recognized that as his only son, even though he had another son. Take your only son, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, even Yitzchak. His name is Yitzchak. It's Isaac in the translation. And get you into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you of. And Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place of which Elohim had told him. So he was obedient. He went where Yahweh told him to go. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. And Abraham said to his young men, remain you here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and come again to you. So Abraham knew something. He says, we will worship and come again to you. So he's saying we, even though he was supposed to be offering his only son, he knew that Yahweh would return his son to him, one way or another. Can we have that faith? Do we have that faith in Yahweh, brethren? Do we understand the power of his Holy Spirit? And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. And they both went, both of them together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, Elohim will provide, Yahweh Yireh, himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. Now, we just had the Passover memorial. Yahweh provided his lamb. His lamb is Yahshua the Messiah. He died for the sins of the world, for each and every one of our sins. Now, for you to get a true picture of what this entails, you see Abraham, he has a son, the son whom he loved. Now, I want you to take this to heart because it's like you being placed in Abraham's place. And you're going to take the most precious thing to you, whether it's your son, your daughter, whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is, but you have to offer it to Yahweh. That means you have to give it up. How many people are willing to give up that which is most precious to them? Very few people are willing to do that. But see, this is what Yahweh did for us. And he's asking us to do it for him. Are you willing to be perfected in love? Are you perfect in love to Yahweh? Verse 9, and they came to the place which Elohim had told him of, and Abraham built the altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. It doesn't say that Isaac fought against it. He accepted what his father was doing. How many of us would have fought, knowing that this might be our last moment on the earth, our last breath? And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of Yahweh called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do anything to him. For now I know that you fear Yahweh. You fear Elohim, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Have we gotten to that point in our lives, brethren, where we will not withhold that which we love the most from Yahweh? Verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Yahweh Yireh, Yahweh Provides, as it is said to this day, in the mount of Yahweh it shall be provided. This is why we have to trust Yahweh to provide everything we have need of, brother. If we're faithful, if we're perfected in his love, we can expect Yahweh to provide everything we have need of. And there's going to come a time in the very near future where you're going to be tested. And you have to make the right choice between this world and the kingdom of Yahweh. Verse 15, and the angel of Yahweh called unto Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself have I sworn, says Yahweh, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. We have to be obedient to Almighty Yahweh as Abraham was obedient. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. But see, Abraham did exactly as he was commanded. Abraham was perfect in love. He didn't withhold his son from Yahweh. And it was a blessing to him when he did that. Psalm 119. And we'll start in verse 1. Are you perfect in love, brethren? That's the question I have for you today. Blessed are they that are perfect in the way, who walk in the law of Yahweh. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. Do you seek Yahweh with your whole heart, or are you partial? See, if you're divided, it's going to come out, especially in a time of trial in your life. And all of us are going to have some times of trial. It says, yes, they do know unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us your precepts, that we should observe them diligently. Oh, that my ways were established to observe your statutes. Each of us have our ways laid out before us. We've been taught the commandments. We teach them here all the time. Some people think we teach them too much. But I tell you, you can never know the law of Yahweh enough. Verse 6, then shall I not be put to shame when I have respect to all your commandments. He's not picking and choosing. The psalmist here is saying, when I have respect to all your commandments. See, too many of the people today want to pick and choose what they're going to keep, what commandments to keep. But Yahweh wants us to be faithful and keep all his commandments. I will give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgment. I will observe your statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. And Yahweh will not forsake those who are keeping his commandments. You have to choose to serve him first and foremost and allow the blessings, as you saw what he said to Abraham would be his blessing. And Abraham was truly blessed. We see the history of Abraham. We see the blessings as they've unfolded in this book. Abraham didn't get to see all of this. But guess what? He knew he was blessed. Do you know that you're blessed? Verse 9, with what shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to it according to your word. With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. See, too many people are conflicted, and part of their heart is still in the world because they want the pleasures of this world before they want the kingdom of Yahweh. And it's got to be the opposite. You have to want the kingdom of Yahweh more than the pleasures of this world. Because one of the things you have to understand as a young man, you know, young people want today. They want the hottest car, the fastest car, the most beautiful woman, you know, girl they're seeking. They want to have fun, you know. You remember the song by Cyndi Lauper, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Yeah, they want to party. That's what life is about for a lot of young people. But it gets more serious when you start having children. When you start having responsibility, because then you have to worry about the bills. You have to worry about a place to keep them, a house. You have to worry about, you know, some of the basics. We look at it as basics, but for them, it could be overwhelming. It can be very overwhelming for young people because a lot of them, they lack experience, and this is why they have to gain experience. And when they start to gain experience and they start to see cars being repossessed because, you know, they lose their job or, you know, something happens because they made a bad decision. And young people make a lot of bad decisions because it's not based on long-term thinking. It's not based on the kingdom thinking. It's based on the here and now. I have to have it now. You understand? So they make a real, most of them make grave errors, and they come to you asking the cosign to get a house or the cosign to get a car or whatever, and you can tell them 100 times, you know, this is the way to do it, and this is the way to save the money and to prepare, but they have to have it now. You understand? And most of them, they lose it because they're not ready. So fundamentally, to be ready, you have to go through some hard times at times. And you have to approach things a little different. Now, we in America, we see things a lot different than the rest of the world. And I say that, I'm speaking of the difference between the first world and third world. There's a second there in the middle. But we take for granted toilet paper. They don't do that in Venezuela. You understand? They don't do that in Kenya. They don't worry about it in Kenya. In Venezuela, they kind of worry about it a little bit more because they have a hard time. They're having some hard economic times in their country right now. There's some famine going on in Kenya. So some of the people are having some really difficult times. We take a lot for granted here because of the blessings that we have. But when we go through a tough time, then we're able to appreciate the good times. Now, people who were born during the Depression, which are very few left because they would be in their 90s right now. My father was born in 1920. He passed away a few years ago, and he was 92 then. But there are people who are still alive who were born during that Depression, and they see things a lot different than we do. See, I'm a baby boomer. I was born during the good times of America, right after the World War and Korean War, and, you know, America was financially booming. So my generation saw things a lot different than the generations after us. And the millennialists, you got these kids here today that they don't know how to tie their shoes. You understand? And they don't know how to tie their shoes because they've not been really taught how to survive. And this is where, when you look at the things that are coming upon this earth, you know, this tribulation is coming. It's going to rock them because they don't know. They're going to easily go into the beast system because they don't know how to survive on their own. They don't know how to go without anything. If they're without electricity for a short period of time, they're panicking. You understand? If the storm comes in and knocks out electric, these millennialists are really going to suffer because they have no electronics. They have no way to charge their iPads and their phones and all of their little gadgets. They don't know how to read a book. You understand? And we have to, and this is why the Bible is so important. If you teach these young people this resource, they can go to this Bible with any amount of light that they can get with a match, and they can study, and they can get closer to Yahweh. Now, oh, I have my Bible on my phone, but what happens if your phone dies? You can't get to it. You don't have it memorized. See, verse 10 of Psalm 119 says, with my whole heart, not with part of it, have I sought you, or let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I laid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. That means you've memorized it. You've studied it. Blessed are you, O Yahweh, teach me your statutes. With my lips have I declared all the ordinances of your mouth. See, these laws, this Torah came from the mouth of Yahweh. He's saying, with my lips have I declared all the commandments, all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Do we look at the word of Yahweh as being as important as our bank account? Most people, I'm going to tell you, they say no, because they don't understand the power of the commandments. They don't understand the power of the word of Yahweh. See, because your riches can disappear, but this word cannot disappear. It's more than etched in stone. It should be etched in our hearts, brethren. I will meditate on your precepts and have respect to all your ways, to your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Have we studied and taken the word of Yahweh? With our whole heart, we must pursue Almighty Yahweh. Not with part of it, with our whole heart. Turn over to Psalm 15. Psalm 15 is a psalm of David. David was another one that was perfected in the love of Yahweh. Yahweh, who shall sojourn in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness. Righteousness is the keeping of the commandments, brethren. And speaks truth in his heart. And that's us. We have to speak truth in our hearts. We have to speak truth to our children, truth to our neighbors, truth to our enemies. He that slanders not with his tongue, nor does evil to his friend, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors them that fear Yahweh. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. He that puts not out his money to interest, nor takes reward against the innocent. He that does these things shall never be moved. Now, when tough times are coming in your life, how do you respond? Jeremiah was a prophet of Yahweh. He was a young man from Anathoth, which is a priestly city, a Levitical city. In Jeremiah chapter 11, in verse 1 it says, the word that came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, hear the words of this covenant, and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say to them, in this manner says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, cursed is the man that hears not the words of this covenant. So he's cursing those that aren't hearing the word, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you, so shall you be my people. And I will be your Elohim. So what they had to do is believe what Yahweh had told them, which was the covenant, and enter into it, that I may establish the oath which I swore to your fathers to give them a land flowing with milk and honey as at this day. Then answered I and said, amen, O Yahweh. In verse 6, and Yahweh said to me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear the words of this covenant and do them. Now, we've been told in Matthew 28:19-20 to take this message to the whole earth. That's our job in the last days, to make sure everyone hears the word of Yahweh on this planet. Verse 7, for I earnestly protested to your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even to this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked everyone in the stubbornness of his evil heart. Therefore I brought upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. Now, we have this knowledge. We see the history of what happened to Judah at this time. And Israel went into captivity. Now, Judah was about to go. During Jeremiah's prophecy, they were about to go into captivity. What about us, brother? Are we ready for captivity or are we ready for the kingdom? Are you perfect in love? If you're perfect in love, you're ready for the kingdom of Yahweh to be established. In verse 9, and Yahweh said to me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this is where the law of Yahweh should have been greatest. Do you understand? Because these people were taught the covenant, the commandments, from their youth. Verse 10, they have turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, the sin of their forefathers, who refused to hear my words and they have gone to other Elohim to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. Now, this evil is about to come upon this world during the tribulation, which they're not going to be able to escape. And they shall cry to me, but I will not listen to them. Do you want Yahweh to hear your cry? Verse 12, then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry to the Elohim to which they offer incense, but they will not save them at all in the time of their trouble. And that great time of trouble is coming upon this earth. It's called the Great Tribulation. And it's going to be a very, very wicked and rough time for the people of this earth. And they're going to cry to God. And they're not going to be heard. See, those who call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. But you have to understand this has to happen before the tribulation. Verse 13, for according to the number of your cities are your Elohim. You have many of them. O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, have you set up altars to the shameful thing, even altars to burn incense to Baal? Therefore, do not pray for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry to me because of their trouble. So Yahweh is telling Jeremiah not to pray for them. You think that's harsh? See, when we take for granted the blessings that we have and we throw them behind our backs, see, we're not going to have that opportunity to go back. When that tribulation starts, you're in it. Now, I will tell you this, he's going to allow some repentance for those. And I believe it's those that really didn't know. And they entered in. And I'm not talking about those who have been baptized in Yahshua's name. I'm not talking about them at all. Because I don't believe they're going to have the grace that these people who are in the tribulation will receive. Because they're going to turn at the preaching of the two witnesses. But we have an opportunity, and not just that, an obligation to go to the world and let them know what's about to happen. Verse 15, what has my beloved to do in my house, seeing she has worked lewdness with many, and the holy flesh has passed from you? When you do evil, then you rejoice. Yahweh called your name, a green olive tree, fair with good fruit, with the noise of a great tumult. He has kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. For Yahweh of hosts who planted you, has pronounced evil against you because of the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which you have worked for themselves in provoking me to anger by offering incense to Baal, by going into false worship. We know the difference. A lot of the Christians, a lot of these Buddhists, a lot of the Hindus, a lot of the Muslims do not know the difference. Verse 18, and Yahweh gave me knowledge of it, and I knew it when you showed me their doings, but I was like a gentle lamb that is led to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit of it, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered And this is speaking of Yahshua. This is a prophetic passage talking about the Lamb of Yahweh. And yes, the leaders of Israel wanted to do this. And they did. They had him put to death. But O Yahweh of hosts, who judges righteously, who tries the heart and the mind, I see your vengeance on them. For to you have I revealed my cause. Therefore, thus says Yahweh concerning the men of Anathoth that seek your life, saying, you shall not prophesy in the name of Yahweh. And we hear this from the leaders of Judaism. You can't use the name of Yahweh. It's too holy. Jeremiah was from Anathoth. Anathoth means answers to prayer. You understand? They were to receive answers to prayer, but they wouldn't accept Jeremiah. They wouldn't accept Yahweh's prophet that he sent to them. Are you accepting the prophecy and the prophet of Yahweh in these last days, brethren? Are you going to accept the prayers? Therefore, thus says Yahweh in verse 21 concerning the men of Anathoth that seek your life, saying, you shall not prophesy in the name of Yahweh, that you die not by our hand. Therefore, thus says Yahweh of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, and their sons and daughters shall die by famine. And there shall be no remnant to them, for I will bring evil upon the men of Anathoth, even the year of their visitation. Now, the year of our visitation is coming upon us soon, brother. Yahweh knows. He knows exactly what we're doing. And he knows exactly what we have need of. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Are you perfect in love? Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of Elohim. And we are. For this cause the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are children of Elohim, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And everyone that has this hope set on him purifies himself even as he is pure. Everyone that commits sin also transgresses the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away sin. And in him is no sin. Yahshua did no sin, brethren. Whoever remains in him does not sin. We have to follow the pattern. Whoever sins has not seen him, neither knows him. Little children, let no man lead you astray, because they're going to try. And they're going to try each and every day as they tried Yahshua. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that does sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. So you have to check yourselves. You have to look at yourself, your life, in the mirror. You know the difference between the commandments and sin. To this end was the Son of Yahweh manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And that's what Yahshua came for, to destroy the works of the devil, to overcome death for us. Whoever is begotten of Yahweh does not practice sin, because his seed remains in him. And he may not practice sin, because he is begotten of Yahweh. In this manner, the children of Yahweh are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whoever does not righteousness is not of Yahweh, neither he that does not love his brother. So this is important. See, because if we have these little problems between ourselves, one against the other, and we're not forgiving one another, we don't know Yahweh. See, we're not perfected in his love. If you're perfected in his love, you're going to forgive anybody who sinned against you. You understand? Doesn't matter who it is. Your sister, your brother, your mother, your father. So this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain was of the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because his works were evil and his brother is righteous. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. And if you are perfected in the love of Yahweh, you do love the brethren. You also love your neighbor and your enemy. Like I said, we have to overcome this world. We cannot be like the rest of the world who are holding grudges one against another. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life living in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Can you do that? Are you willing to die for me? That's the question. I have to be willing to die for you. Verse 17, but whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and shuts up his compassion from him, how does the love of Yahweh live in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and truth. By this shall we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our heart before him. Because if our heart condemns us, Elohim is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, we have boldness toward Elohim. And whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Can you say that you're doing the things that are pleasing in Yahweh's sight? And this is the commandment, that we should believe in the name of the Son of Yahshua, the Messiah, and love one another, even as he gave his commandment. And he that keeps his commandment lives in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he lives in us, by the Spirit which he gave us. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, brethren. It's not going to leave us hanging. We know that we have a relationship with Yahweh through his Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 4, right across the page for those that are in a Sacred Scriptures Bethel edition. Verse 7, 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of Yahweh. And everyone that loves is begotten of Yahweh and knows Yahweh. He that loves not knows not Yahweh, for Yahweh is love. That's a real powerful statement. And this was the love of Yahweh manifested in us, that Yahweh has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love Yahweh, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, the atonement for our sin. Beloved, if Yahweh so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has beheld Yahweh at any time. If we love one another, Yahweh lives in us. So nobody has seen the Father. Nobody has seen the Father. But the Son was seen. The only begotten of Yahweh has been seen. By this we know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is given at baptism when the laying on of hands by the elders is done. Verse 14, and we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever shall confess that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh, Elohim lives in him and he in Elohim. And this is the confession of faith that you have to give at baptism, that you believe that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh. Verse 16, and we know and have believed the love which Yahweh has in us. Yahweh is love. And he that lives in love lives in Yahweh, and Yahweh lives in him. And this is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, even so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has punishment, and he that fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Now, we're made perfect in love if we've accepted Yahshua as our Messiah. See, people make the statement they believe. And a lot of them are baptized, but they don't make it. Simon Magus was one in Acts 8 who received the baptism after being a sorcerer. But what happened? He realized he couldn't go all the way. He couldn't go all the way. He didn't believe enough. He wanted to buy the Holy Spirit, which is not something you can do. The Holy Spirit is a gift given to those who are baptized in Yahshua's name, who believe. There is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear. Do we have perfect love, brother? Do we have perfect love? Yahweh has perfect love. He's given us the ability to be perfect in love as he is. Because fear has punishment, and he that fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If a man say, I love Yahweh, and hates his brother, he is a liar. Doesn't matter who it is that you hate. You're a liar. But he that does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love Yahweh, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves Yahweh loves his brother also. John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer. We're going to start in verse 17. John 17:17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you did send me into the world, even so I sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also, that believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you did send me, and the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that you did send me and love them even as you loved me. And truly Yahweh does love each one of us that has committed our lives to him. Father, verse 24, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world, O righteous Father. The world knew you not, but I knew you, and these knew that you did send me. And I made known to them your name, and will make it known that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Are you perfect in love, brethren? Almighty Yahweh has called the people in these last days to do his will, to keep his commandments. Our closing passage is going to be taken from 1 John chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. See, Yahweh doesn't want you to sin. He doesn't want you to be separated from him. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and Yahshua the Messiah, the righteous. And he is the propitiation, the atonement for our sin. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So anybody in the world can repent and come to Yahweh. And by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And there are many out there like that today that are saying they keep the commandments, but they don't. Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, in him the love of Yahweh has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. He that says he remains in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Which means you're going to walk in the commandments as Yahshua walked in the commandments. Are you perfect in love, brethren? Almighty Yahweh has sent his only begotten Son, Yahshua, to die for our sins. This is love, brethren, perfect love. At this time, I'd like you to all rise. Almighty Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the love that you've perfected in each and every one of your servants, in giving us your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who died for our sins. He didn't have any sins of his own. He died for each and every one of us. And this is love made perfect through our Father in heaven, Yahweh, who loved the world and gave his only begotten Son. He loved us even when we were still in sin. So we ask, Father, that you would help us be perfected in love as we seek to love one another and overcome this world and Satan the devil as Yahshua did. As we seek to show a good example of your servants in the world in these last days, help us, Father, to overcome this world and to do your will in each and every instance the devil comes to us. Help us to resist him that he might flee far from us. Help us to be an example to all those around us of your servants, of those whom you love, because your spirit has been given to each one of us that has been baptized in Yahshua's name. Help us, Father, to be like Yahshua, who was perfected in your love. In Yahshua's holy name, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.